I'd like to look at the second coming of Christ. Now, this study is very vast. The more I studied, the more I realized that we'll only be able to scratch the surface here this morning. There's a lot in Scripture about the second coming of Christ. But Christ's return is the glory and the hope of the church. Jesus said in John 14, verse 3, he gives that promise that he's going away, he's going to prepare a place for us, and it says there that he will come again. Amen. We know that this promise will be fulfilled. The return of Christ is the event that will finally release God's people from the confines of sin, from this sin-cursed earth. So as children of God, as the redeemed, we look forward to that time when Christ will come back and we can be taken out of this world. We can be taken away from the confines of sin, the curse of sin. And we have those new bodies. Romans talks about how that, it says there in Romans 8, verse 23, that, I'll read 22 and 23. It says, "For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." We're waiting for that time when Christ will come back, when we'll receive those new bodies, we'll be redeemed from all of this, the confines of sin and the curse of sin that's upon us. I want to acknowledge that when we look at the scope of future events as it relates to the return of Christ, I believe there's two major events that are depicted in Scripture. One event would be the rapture of the church. The other is when Christ returns to earth with his saints to reign, known as the millennial reign. And I don't plan this morning to launch into some big philosophical discussion and talk about the timing and the detail of these events. To be honest, there's much there that I don't understand. I simply want to look at Scripture and what it says and allow the Scriptures to challenge us to be ready, for the return of Christ. Be ready and watching, because Christ will come back. Some of the verses we're going to be looking at will be referring to the rapture. Some of them will be referring to the second coming of Christ, which is when Christ comes to reign with his saints. We're going to be looking at a lot of Scripture verses, reading a lot of Scripture, so I invite you to turn with me to them. As an introduction to the message, I'd like to go to Matthew 24. You can turn in your Bibles to Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is Jesus' words to his disciples. The disciples came to Jesus at the beginning of the chapter, and they asked Jesus, they said, "What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And then Jesus begins telling them of some of this, the future happenings of Jesus when Christ returns. I'm going to divide the message into four main areas. I want to look at Jesus will return. We'll look at how, when, where, and then what shall I do. Let's read here in Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to read, starting at verse 1, we'll read to verse 44. Matthew 24, verse 1, And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, for ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that are, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days shall be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven, and with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Jesus will return. How will Jesus return? Let's look at the first main point. How will Jesus return? I invite you to go to Acts chapter 1. I'd like to read a verse from there. Acts chapter 1, I'd like to start at verse 6. When they, therefore, were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. This is the ascension of Jesus. Jesus said here that he would return just like he left. It mentions that he would come in the clouds. The same way that he returned back to heaven, he would reappear in the clouds. When was the last time that you lifted your eyes towards heaven and you looked at a beautiful sunset and the rays of sun shining through the clouds? What does that make you think of? Whenever I see a sunset like that, with the rays of sun shining through the clouds, it reminds me of the fact that Jesus said, I'm coming again. I'm coming in the clouds. Jesus is coming in the clouds. Secondly, how will Jesus return? I'd like to go to 1 Thessalonians 4 for some scripture verses. First Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. How will Jesus come? Jesus will come with a shout, with the voice of an archangel with the trump of God. What will this voice say? What will the shout be? What will the voice of the archangel say? I don't know that we have an answer to that. I'd like to look a little more at the trumpet. It speaks of the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. If you go to Numbers 10, you'll find there that Moses was instructed to make two silver trumpets. And there was two purposes for these silver trumpets. One was to call the assembly of God's people together. When the trumpet was blown, Israel was to assemble themselves at the door of the tabernacle. The second function of the silver trumpet was a sound of warning. Warning when there was danger. I see two similarities between the use of the trumpet here in Numbers 10 and the thought of the trumpet call of the Lord. When we hear that trumpet call of the Lord, it's to call the redeemed. It's an assembly. It's to call the assembly of the saints together. Furthermore, to those who are unsaved, it's a sound of warning. Because that trumpet, for the unsaved, is going to mean a time of facing the judgment of God. I'd like to invite your attention over to Exodus. Exodus chapter 18, I'd like to catch a few verses there. This is the account of when Moses received the law at Mount Sinai. Exodus chapter 18, I'd like to just pull out a couple of verses. Exodus 18:18. Says like this, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. 19, and when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon the Mount Sinai on top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. Again, I see some similarities here in this chapter and the future rapture when Jesus comes back for the church. First of all, I'd like to note the trumpet here. It says the trumpet sounded there in verse 19 and waxed louder and louder. The way I understand that the time period right here in Exodus chapter 19 was the time period of the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets was the celebration of the beginning of the Jewish year. Some of you may have heard the term Rosh Hashanah. And at twilight, in the evening, it was a two-day feast, in the evening at twilight, which was the end of one day and the start of another day, at the very end of this feast, the priest would blow the shofar loud and long, just like what we read here in Exodus 19. The trumpet here, I believe, is something, it's loud, it's boisterous, it's a sound that can be heard throughout all the earth. the sound of the trumpet, of the Lord's trumpet, when Jesus returns. Maybe similar to what was heard here on Mount Sinai. Thirdly, how will Jesus return? He will return as a thief in the night. For those that are not prepared, he comes as a thief. I'll read a verse here out of Revelation 16. It says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." There's other verses in Scripture that have the same thought, that the Lord will return as a thief. For those that are not prepared, it's going to be a sudden appearance. He will appear when they're not ready. You see, if you knew that tonight somebody was going to break into your apartment or your house and steal your things, if you knew that, you wouldn't let it happen. You would be there. You would be there to deter the thief. Jesus, in Matthew 24, we read some verses that admonish us to be prepared. Because we don't know when Jesus will come back. Since we don't know when Christ is coming, it calls for constant vigilance. We have to be ready at any time because we don't know the moment when he will come. Fourthly, how will Jesus return? With great power and glory. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 30, it says, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." When Jesus came to earth the first time, Jesus came as a servant. He was an example of servitude. Not so in the second coming of Christ. He's going to come with power. He's going to come in glory. He comes with authority and lordship. So if you want to be part of the redeemed that go to be with Jesus when he comes back, then you must submit yourself to the lordship of Jesus Christ now. And as I thought of that, a verse came to my mind in James chapter 10, or chapter 4 rather, verse 10. It says, "If you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, he shall lift you up." So if you humble yourself to the lordship of Jesus Christ now, you will be lifted up by the power of God when he comes to claim his church. Amen. You will be one of those that's lifted up to meet the Lord in the air. That verse, I never thought of it quite in that way, but as we submit ourselves to the lordship of Jesus Christ, now we can anticipate that time when we will be lifted up in a real way, in a literal way. Fifthly, how will Jesus come? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I'd like to go to 1 Corinthians for some verses. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 to 54. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? It says here that the return of Christ will be in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. There's two things I would like to draw from this. One is that it's going to be quick. Matthew 24, we read the verse where it says, as the lightning goes from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. It's something that's quick. It's sudden. I'd like to also point out that in the Jewish Feast of Trumpets, the Jews refer to the end of their day being at sunset. They refer to that as twilight. And the idea here of the coming of the Lord being in a twinkling of an eye, some would link that to the Feast of Trumpets, that Christ's coming very possibly could be at that moment, at twilight. At the celebration of the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, which is the celebration of the new Jewish year. Just an interesting side note, possibly. We know that Christ could come at any time, but it's interesting to see how Paul here possibly was referring maybe to that time, that feast, when he wrote these verses. It was something that I'm sure Paul could connect with the Corinthians on. Second main point of the message I'd like to look at, when will Jesus come? When will Jesus come? I'd like to take us back to Matthew 24, verse 36. Some very plain words here it says. Matthew 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So when will Jesus come? No one knows except the Father. No one knows when Jesus will come except the Father. We do, however, have many signs, and Jesus, in these verses, gave us many signs that would be signals that the end is coming. So I'd like to look at some of the signs of Christ's coming. The first one I want to look at is in verse 7 of Matthew 24. It talks about natural disaster. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. I looked for a statistic on the frequency of natural disaster over the past several decades. And I did come up with some numbers. I don't know how accurate they are, but it's kind of nice to look at numbers, so I'll give them to you. It says that during the 40 years that preceded the decade of the 1990s, there were 142 classified natural disasters in the United States. So if you do the math, that's about 3.5 natural disasters every year. That's the time period prior to the 1990s. During the 10 years of the 1990s, there were 72. So if you do the math on that, that would be about 7.2 natural disasters every year. Now, the decade that followed from 2000s till now saw some of the worst most devastating natural disasters ever recorded in history. And it didn't give a number as to how many disasters there were, but I'm certain that there are more than there were previous years. Jesus said here that in the end times there would be earthquakes, there would be pestilences. How about this Ebola that we read about from time to time in the news? What about all this disease that seems like just abounds and keeps growing and growing? Cancer alone has over 100 types. There's over 100 types of cancer alone, not to mention all the other diseases that there are. They're just on the increase. The second sign of Jesus' coming is war. Newspapers are populated with this word war. You hear phrases like the war on terrorism or the war against ISIS. And there's strife in families. There's violence on the streets. Gangs are violent against other gangs, and there's strife all around. Certainly, war abounds everywhere. The third sign I'd like to look at is a falling away. I invite your attention to 1 Timothy for a few verses. 1 Timothy 4, and I'd like to read verses 1 through 3. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Verse 1 says that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. There's going to be a falling away. Can you think of acquaintances that you have that one time embraced the truth of God's word but are no longer living for God? They're no longer living out the word of God. Maybe it's a family member or a close relative that was once on fire for God but no longer served the Lord. In my latter school years, I can think of a few schoolmates that I had that they at one time were Christians, but they've turned back. They no longer stand for anything. And I'm sure you can think of the same acquaintances that you've had or that you have. So this is one of the signs of the last days. People are going to fall away from the faith. I'd like to challenge us that we would make our calling and election sure. We would have a determination in our hearts that we will go all the way with Christ, no matter what it costs. The fourth sign that I'd like to look at is men shall be lovers of their own selves. That is in 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, it says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, tradie, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. It's quite a list. How far do you have to go to find self-centered people? People that are all wrapped up in their own agenda. People that are trying to make life comfortable for them. They're only thinking of themselves and what they can get, what they can buy to make life more enjoyable, more easy. People that want prestige and popularity. People that love pleasure. They love a thrill. They want to pursue that thrill, that high. They do all that without any thought of God. People that are covetous, people that are boasters, people that blaspheme, they're all around us. They're everywhere. One of the signs of the last days, people are going to be lovers of their own selves. Fifthly, signs of the end times, false prophets. We can go back to Matthew 24 for this one. Matthew 24, we read the verse there in verse 24. For there shall rise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. What about all the different religions that are out there? What about the people that say that certain parts of the Bible are irrelevant for our time? It was just for those people back there. It was for that culture. It's not something for us today. What about those religions that add verses or take verses from the Bible, out of the Bible? Or they have a book that they hold up to equal or greater value than God's word. Is there any false doctrine around? It's all over. It's everywhere. Sickly, signs of the end times, eating, drinking, marrying, buying, selling, building. And I find this in Matthew 24 as well. Matthew 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. These are things of normal life. We could look at this as normal life taking place. However, these verses, how was it in the time of Noah? If you go to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 and 6, it says that God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were evil continually. Here's a people they're involved in everyday things of life, but they give no recognition to God. Just take a look at society and tell me, can you see areas in society that at one time there was a recognition for God, but today there is no more? God has been taken out. Probably one of the first things that might come to your mind is prayer in schools. How about the moral laws of God that are disregarded every day? Which leads to things such as divorce and remarriage, same-sex marriage. These are things that are looked at today as being commonplace. In my growing up years, same-sex marriage was unheard of. and I'm not very old. It wasn't until more recently, I'm going to say the past 5 to 10 years, that this thing just really started to escalate. So you have a people here that are, they're frivolous, merrymaking, party-type people. Group of people that live for the weekend party. They're out eating, they're drinking, they're indulging in all kinds of carnal and sensual things. Also, I'd like to emphasize the fact that it speaks of normal duties in these verses, normal things of life taking place. You might find somebody that feels that certain things need to happen before Christ will come back. Or maybe they think that some kind of catastrophic event will take place and then Christ will come. According to these verses, it looks like it tells us that normal things of life will be happening when Jesus comes back. The Bible is clear that Christ's coming will be unexpectedly. It'll happen while normal things of life are taking place. In summary, on this point, I cannot tell you the day or the hour that Christ will come back. The Word of God clearly tells us that no man knows exactly when. But I can tell you that the signs that we see all around us tell us that the time is near. And I can also tell you that today you're one day closer to the Lord's return than you were yesterday. Third main point I'd like to look at, where the Lord will return. I'd like to look at where. Revelation 1, verse 7 says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." It says that every eye shall see him. Also in Matthew, we read, "As the lightning shines from the east to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be." To me, this establishes the fact that Christ's return will be everywhere. No one will miss it. It's an event that will encompass the whole globe. Everyone will be aware of it. Furthermore, in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17, which we read earlier, it says that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. The redeemed will meet the Lord in the air. Where will it be? It'll be a meeting in the air for the redeemed. As it relates to the second coming of Christ, now referring to when Christ comes to reign, there's some verses I'll read in Zechariah 14, verse 1 through 5. It says that, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished. And half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azel. Yea, ye shall flee. Like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. This is, I believe, the second coming of Christ, when Christ comes for the millennial reign. According to the scripture, I would understand that Christ's feet will touch down on the Mount of Olives. That is where Christ will return. That is where Christ will return when he comes back as a conquering king to reign in Jerusalem. This is the time when Christ will reign with his saints. This is the time when sin and evil will be forever done away with. In closing, I'd like to look at the question, what should you do? What should I do about Christ's return? It's not a question of whether or not the rapture will happen. It's not a question of how it will happen. It's not a question of exactly when it will happen necessarily. That's really not what's important. The question is, this morning, are you ready? Are you ready? Is all well between you and God? Can you say, like it says there in Revelations 22, verse 20, He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. I trust that is your portion this morning, that you are ready for Christ's return. Because we know it will happen. Are you ready? There's a verse in Luke chapter 21, verse 28. It says, And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. I'd like to close with that encouragement that this week, as we go about our normal duties of life, keep your head up, because Christ is coming back. Maybe it will be this week. Trust that we're ready for that time. God bless each one. Let's kneel for prayer.